that's oh, we're doing that first. Okay. Little before 2 o'clock on Mason and Ireland, live imaging Tuesday. Momo sitting in for Mace. I thought we were going Yacht Rock, Jorge. It's okay. We haven't worked together in a few weeks.
Yeah, Godfather is never not welcome on this show.
So the reason we're playing The Godfather is, of course, the Mason Ireland Mafia on Twitter. Are you part of the Mafia, Ramona?
I am.
Okay.
I did an AMA with the Mafia.
But they're
on
upset.
Thursday.
They are upset.
Okay,
really?
Well, at me or?
Well, because, as you know, I brought in the Reddit people to kind of create it, make it a swamp.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Kyle Downey, who's the moderator.
Yeah.
The great Kyle Downey.
You're going to get thrown out if it goes negative.
He had to throw some people. All right. He had to delete some comments yesterday.
Okay.
And, of course, I marvel at how enjoyable that is. But more importantly, without Mace here, the Mafia ain't getting the attention. You didn't mention the Mafia yesterday.
That's true. I did not.
Oh, I see. So it's like a Ron Artest. Acknowledge me!
Yeah, Mason needs that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
Mason needs people telling him how great he is.
So
I don't.
So does that mean all week you're not going to mention the Mason and Ireland Mafia?
No, I think it's great. I think Kyle's done a great job, and it's good. But I mean,
did you enjoy the AMA?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I screwed it up, though. I quote tweeted everything, so it didn't show up just. I wanted to do it just for the Mafia, but it went to everybody. But no, I think the Mafia's been great so far, unless you ruin it with your sea of negativity. Have you ruined it yet?
Listen, the Mason Ireland Reddit, it's popping today. Okay, their leader, Penis Thumbs, he's coming after me today.
Penis Thumbs is
back.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He is after me today.
All right, I will try and make a point of
view. They don't like me, Ramona.
Hey, wait. So
they don't like
you're
going to
make a drop out of me saying the thing about the tennis player, but you're not going to make a drop out of Penis Thumbs?
I would rather not say it as many times as we've been saying it.
But the retaliation that'll come from me towards them will be bad.
Okay.
But see, the Mason Ireland Reddit is a cesspool. They don't like me. They don't like you. They don't like
anybody.
They don't like anybody or anything. So we eliminated the mate with the
and then it came back.
Page, but Chris brought it back from the dead because Chris likes to stir things up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
there you go. All right, Mason and Ireland, your Tuesday continues right now.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I'll try and mention
the
Mafia.
You know what's interesting? Yeah. I have heard that this Reddit thing exists.
Yeah.
And I've heard that they probably don't like me or whatever. But I never went in there and read it.
Don't go in there. It's a cesspool.
Right? So if you, it's almost as if, if I don't read it, did it actually happen? It's like if a tree falls in the woods, actually happen?
Be like Charles Barkley. Just pay no attention to any social media whatsoever, and then you're good.
That's amazing.
You know, he just ignores it.
A friend of mine, you know, Cassie Howarth, she was in town last
week.
She's
great.
She said to me, she goes, I took a month off from all social media. She goes, I've read so many books. I'm getting so many things done. It's amazing. I don't know that I could. Could you do it? Could you do a month without social media at all? Anything?
I have said many times, when I leave this show, and who knows when that'll be.
Yeah.
Could be tomorrow. I will take a long hiatus off social media. I think it's incredibly negative. And I don't think it's good for you. I just think people are just so mean and negative. But it can also be a great information source.
Yeah.
So. And guys like Mason. Mason needs affirmation. Yeah. He needs people telling him how great he is.
Yeah.
So I think that
I used to need it. And now I just want to make sure I just monitor. I interact with a few people who slide into my DMs who I've kind of gotten to know over the years. I do. A little bit. There's a couple people who like slide in. They seem nice or they seem interesting and they write in, you know, I'll occasionally write back. If you start trying to pick up on me, I'll just either mute you or block you. There's so many people on social media who like try to ask me out. I'm like, what part of like I am married with two kids do you not understand?
Well, maybe they think you have an extracurricular
love
life.
Okay.
You know, you never know. There are people out there.
There are people.
All right. So big story in the NBA today. Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver has been suspended for 1 year, fined $10 million after a league investigation finds his conduct clearly violated workplace standards. Now, this is a long report that I actually read cover to cover. Did you read it?
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty bad.
He's being suspended because he's a bad guy. You know Baxter Holmes, who wrote this. You've read everything I've read. You just did a hit on NBA Today with Malika about this very story. I'll phrase it this way. Does the punishment fit the crime?
There are a lot of people who feel like the punishment is too soft. And because I'm reporting on the story, I'm not going to quite give as much opinion as I normally would. Okay.
Fine. Yeah.
I can tell you, and
Can I give some facts while you're saying that? Okay. The investigation found that Sarver, while he's been running the Suns and the Mercury, which is their WNBA team, used the N-word at least 5 times when recounting statements of others. There were also instances of inequitable conduct towards female employees, sex-related comments, and inappropriate comments on employees' appearances. Now, this all came out in Baxter's story, which is in November of 2021. Mm-hmm. It just took them this long to get all of their people interviewed and to get to the bottom of the story. Sarver has been the owner of the Suns for 17 years. My feeling, Ramona, before I let you go on, is that people who were involved in the investigation,
yes,
people that were talked to, and they talked to over 300 people, feel that this is a speeding ticket punishment for something that should have been a felony.
Yeah. Baxter read some notes from people who he talked to in his stories, and they said it was spineless. They called it like a slap on the wrist. I can see why people feel that. I can see that because Sterling was banned for life. Don Sterling was banned for life, former of the Clippers.
Remember with him, they had, as you know, because you're doing the TV series, they had him on tape.
Right. And that is actually a really big difference. When you have somebody on tape, the only thing you need to investigate is whether that's their voice on tape. And I guess you need to know the context of why it was said. Like, was he reading something? But that was Sterling's voice on tape. He was not coerced into saying it. It was open and shut. There was not, this is, first it was a reported story with only, I think there's only one or two people who are on the record. Earl Watson, the former UCLA player, and then coach of the Phoenix Suns, is, from what I recall, the only person who is on record with these stories. And it's still his word against Sarver's word or et cetera. And everybody else is an unnamed source.
You know what's interesting about that?
Uh-huh.
Is every time people have gone to Devin Booker,
yep,
or any other Suns player, Devin was there through Earl's tenure as the coach. Mm-hmm. Devin says stuff like, Earl's my guy, and yep, I'll never say anything bad about him. They have not supported Robert Sarver in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
So the players, I think, feel they're succeeding in spite of the owner rather than because of it.
That's right. And it's hard because the NBA had to investigate this, and they gave all of the people involved here anonymity. Okay, everybody who talked to the investigators got anonymity, so it's a little like the Astros investigation, right? If you talk the stuff, and a lot in the report, which is about 43 pages, there are general descriptions of what happened, but not specifics, because anything really specific would be identifiable to who it happened to,
and they don't want their career ended over this,
right? And so it's tricky. Like, it's the Sterling thing was easy. It was a tape. TMZ ran it. Everybody heard it. You know who's on the tape. You know what he said. You know what Vistiviano said. Okay. In this, it's a lot of reporting. And first it was Baxter's story, then it was lawyers. So not to say that the NBA, you know, that they shouldn't have punished him even more. It's a different situation. Okay. Number two, Sterling was banned for life. However, they never had to force him to sell the team. The only way you can force an owner of a team to sell it is by 3/4 of the owners voting for it, okay? And they never got to that point because when he was banned for life, Shelly Sterling decided to sell the team anyway. She just said, okay, I'll sell the team. And there's a whole long story of how she goes to sell the team.
Right.
Okay. In this case, he's banned for 1 year. I thought it was an interesting choice for the NBA to release the report and the punishment on the same day. There's just an argument to be made that they should have put the report out, let players, executives, team owners, other owners digest what's in the report, and then decide what the punishment's going to be. But I would be surprised if this is the last we hear of it. He's banned for a year, which means they'll have to have somebody else run the team.
Right.
From what I'm told, they don't know who's running the team yet. So if the Suns want to sign a free agent, if the Suns want to make a trade, who does James Jones, the general manager of the team, go to? Who does he go to? Sarver only owns about 35% of the team. So there's some minority owners. I think there's somebody with like 15%. Maybe that person will be in charge. That's all still being worked out. But it's going to be after a year. Do you think he can come back and just run the team? I think there's a decent chance that there's going to be pressure on him to sell the team just like Sterling was. There was pressure on Sterling. And we haven't heard from the players yet. Part of the reason why the Clippers ended up being sold and was such a viral moment, such a big moment, is that LeBron James stepped in front of a microphone and said, there's no place for Donald Sterling in this league. the day after the tape has come out. So let's hear what Chris Paul says. Let's hear what Devin Booker says, what DeAndre Ayton says, with some of the main players on that team. Now, should it fall to them to make a statement? No, the NBA investigated and it was Adam Silver's decision. But this story isn't over.
That's interesting. Here's some reaction to it. Baxter Holmes, who wrote the original reports, went back to the people that spoke to him, some of his sources.
Yep.
And here's what they said, quote, "It's barely a slap on the wrist and shows us the league truly doesn't stand for diversity, equality, or inclusion. I'm grateful to have the validation after being told I was insane, a B word, and being dramatic. That definitely lets me breathe a little, but I'm angry. The league failed us when they had the opportunity to stand behind its values. A current staffer who still works there said, I am so effing mad, and so are many others. I don't think anybody who works for this guy wants to work for him. I think they want to work in the NBA and work for the Suns. And, you know, speaking for someone who's worked in the league for 20 years, it's a great life. It's really, yep. I mean, but this guy clearly doesn't play by the rules.
Yeah. So I think that this is not even close to over.
That's interesting.
That would be my
I didn't
take.
Think about that.
Because, you know, there's always this, there's the report. There's the reaction to the report. There's the punishment. There's the reaction to the punishment. In the Sterling case, in the timeline matters, and if you want to, you can go listen to my 5-episode podcast.
Yes.
Which outlines all of this.
Coming to a TV special near you.
Yeah, coming to FX in next year. The one of the big things with this story was it was on TMZ, which was one of the big stories for TMZ that kind of validated TMZ as a news outlet. I mean,
right.
Michael Jackson's death and probably this tape. It dropped on a Friday night. Saturday morning, LeBron James is asked about the tape. Everybody heard it. LeBron said there's no place for Donald Sterling in this league. Then the rest of the Clipper players had to go out and play a game. They protested by throwing their jerseys down on the court.
Yeah.
There was a whole reaction before Adam Silver even made a statement.
You just worded something that I find interesting.
Okay.
You said LeBron came out and said there's no place for Donald Sterling in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there a place for Robert Sarver in this league?
I'm curious to see. It's been a year since Baxter's story came out, and no player has said that. A lot of the players.
What are they afraid of?
I don't know. I think that most of them felt a lot like what the Clipper players felt at the time, because I covered this very, very closely. And I remember a lot of the players were telling me, you know, we don't play for him. He's just the owner. It was during the playoffs, and like they were almost annoyed that this scandal was derailing their playoff thing. Like it's like,
right.
This is a big, you know, this is the Clippers had aspirations of winning a title. That was Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. It was a really good team. JJ Redick. They wanted to win a title, and this was just this big scandal that got dropped in front of them right then. And it was kind of on them to figure out how to deal with the scandal, their emotions around it, everyone's need for justice. And, oh, by the way, go try to win a playoff series and try to win an NBA championship. It was, for lack of a better word, it was very inconvenient for them, right, in terms of timing. The Suns, if you remember, they just went to the finals a couple years ago. They were trying to get back there last year. I think they don't necessarily want to make Robert Sarver their a big focus of their lives. They want to focus on basketball, but you know, this is now calling their attention. So media day is in a couple of weeks. I think it's September 26th for most teams. I would be surprised if we don't hear from guys like Chris Paul or Devin Booker before that. They certainly have a thought and something to say, but yeah, it's like,
well, here's another problem that I wanted to highlight, and then we'll move on from this. The investigation found that the team's human resources department was historically ineffective and not a trusted resource for employees who were subjected to the improper workplace. This goes beyond sports.
Yes.
I used to work at I've worked at 15 television stations in my career. One of the stations I worked at when I was younger, the guy in charge, the GM, was sexually harassing a lot of the female anchors and reporters.
Okay.
And we all knew it. And they would go to human resources. Well, human resources work for the GM. Same thing with this.
Yep.
Robert Sarver is hiring the human resources department. So if you go and say, hey, Robert Sarver is using the N-word, He's grabbing my butt. Yep. He's making comments about my clothes and making sexual comments out of nature. What Baxter found in his story was the human resources person would say, let's take a walk. That you don't want to be seen in my office.
Yep.
All you can do is sue the team. Yep. Well, then you don't have a human resources. And I think a lot of people
that's a great point.
I think a lot of people that work for companies feel that way. If the corruption is at the top, at the very top of the company, human resources doesn't do anything. I'm sure we have a human resources department. I wouldn't know where it is.
Yeah, you have to send a note to some very anonymous email address.
We don't have one.
We don't have one in L.A.
We do have one specifically.
Disney.
Yes,
Disney.
Disney one.
I only know because I had to go on maternity leave.
Right.
And I had to file for maternity leave. Do you know that's really complicated too?
Right.
Like I was like, oh God, I have to email some leaves team and send a doctor's note and file for disability and all this. I mean, it's like. It's a big, long comment, and I don't know who I'm even calling. It's like you just send it to some email.
I think most people, most people are worried about going to human resources for that exact reason. They don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah.
And when the problem is the guy at the very top, resources doesn't help.
Right.
So that's interesting. Your take on this is it's not over.
No.
Because that makes today's news different than.
And I'm going to tell you one more big thing, John. Right now, Tuesday and Wednesday, NBA Board of Governors are meeting in New York.
And we're assuming he's not one of them because he's
not allowed to be there. So he's not allowed to be there. And I think a lot of there's the story and then there's the reaction to the story. And I think thus far the reaction has been that the punishment is too light. Okay. I was just on TV with Kendrick Perkins and.
What did Perk think?
Oh, Perk thinks he should be out of the league.
Okay.
And Mark Spears, who works for Anscape, which is previously undefeated, he said he basically called on Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton and Book to come out and say we won't play for this guy anymore as long as he still owns the team. I think there's going to be a lot of calls for the other owners in the league by the way, they're not called owners anymore, they're governors.
Okay.
Other and players to come out and sort of either denounce this or call on Sarver to step down. Now, my question is, I mean, I'm glad people waited for the report. I'm glad people gave everybody time to have their say and to be investigated, because I think everybody deserves that in this country, right? This should be given due process. But we haven't heard the reaction yet. It's been a long time since Baxter's story. This just happened.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
As soon as players start to talk, you're right.
Guaranteed, the Suns are worth a lot of money, and there are plenty of people who would want to buy them.
Oh, yeah. Been lining up. Okay, coming up next, we'll pivot to the Dodgers. The Dodgers tonight can clinch the National League West. Tonight in Arizona, it could happen. But something happened last night that I think may change the fortunes of the team going forward. We'll get into that next. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Live Imaging Tuesday on Mason in Ireland. Momo sitting in for Mace, who's out all week. Meanwhile, Saturday night, guess what we're going to do, John?
This Saturday night. What's happening?
Well, you know, my birthday's coming up, number 39.
Congratulations.
Hey. I know, I look so young. Anyway, also Greg's birthday was in September, so we talked about having a little party at the Sunset Room in Hacienda Heights, which is where we had the post-game party for the All-Star tournament. We're going to get together, corporate Greg, myself, producer Jorge, the whole gang. And we're going to post it on Twitter. Sunset Room is going to be a listener party on Saturday night.
Really?
8 p.m.
Listeners invited. I like it.
See, I unlike now, some people, I like to press the flesh with the listeners. Right, mm-hmm. Momo?
I have seen it in action.
And I'm going to dance to this song with some breezies.
I love some breezies. You know? I like it.
Right, Greg?
Absolutely. We're going to
find Greg a new breezy out there.
Yeah, well, as long as she has to be worth I want financial statements for you. Thank you, Greg. Greg needs to meet a woman with money.
Why can't he just meet a woman to have fun with?
No.
Oh.
He's done that. Been there, done that.
No, I think Greg gets attached. Just have fun. Just have a fun that night.
Yeah, yeah.
And then don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. It can be a that night.
You know when he needs, Chris? Remember the movie Cocktail?
Yes.
Remember great in the movie. Beginning, Tom Cruise was like hooking up with that older woman who was like a stockbroker in New York.
I'm all about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, that's what we need for my boy here.
Done.
We need somebody.
Make it happen.
We need somebody with a penthouse in New York City that's paying all the bills.
Absolutely.
That can't be that hard to find.
Well, there's apps for that.
Do you know what they're called?
Well, that would be like the reverse. It's like a sugar mama, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I think so.
Sugarmamas.com. Is that
I mean, I can
ad?
Look it up on the App Store. Okay, we'll see what we can find.
It's going to be a Kanye song about this.
You got out any really, really rich friends who are single?
Let's go Sugar Mama.
Yes, but much older.
I don't even need them to be single.
Age is just a number.
They just want to have fun on a weekend. One weekend a month. I'm ready.
I'm
available one weekend a month.
I mean, how awesome. Old is too old for you?
I don't discriminate.
70s?
As long as it's a fun time and everybody has a good time, that's fine.
I mean, she seems. I mean, I know a few.
She doesn't mind.
Well, there's
that I play
a few
golf.
People 70s. That like if she looks like Jane Fonda or Raquel Welch, those women look like they're 50.
All right, so I got Sugar Meets Strangers.
Okay. Oh, he really looked this up.
I like it.
Older women dating cougar dating mature women.
Cougar.
Oh, number one cougar dating app. Any of these sounding clover?
All of them. I think you should sign up for all of them.
And just swipe all day?
Yeah, and tell them about your husky friend, Chris.
I will.
Mason and Ireland continues right now.
One thing about it, if you go out with Chris, you're never going to be bored.
That is true.
That is, you know, there may be a lot of things you feel, but one of them will not be boredom. I think, Chris, you'd be an... If you are a woman out there looking for a good time, hunt my boy
once
Morales
a month,
down.
Though. Only once a month.
Yeah, that's enough for a lot of girls.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Okay, Bergman, I want to ask you a question.
Uh-oh, what'd I do?
No, this is a Dodger question.
Oh, okay, cool.
So last night, Tyler Anderson threw 7 shutout innings.
Yep, only like a couple hits, too.
Yeah, I now think that if the playoffs started today, Anderson gets a start in the postseason, at least one.
Absolutely.
I used to say Dustin May... Anderson's now past Dustin May in my mind, and since I don't know what the status of Tony Gonsolin is, I might pencil Anderson into game 3. Am I nuts?
No, you're not, actually. Tyler Anderson has been great all season long. I was trying to push him to the bullpen at one point because of everybody else, and especially Dustin May. But Dustin May has not looked good in his last couple of outings. He is just – he's throwing too many pitches is the problem, and he's walking too many guys. So, yeah, Tyler Anderson has been – I mean, he dueled against Jacob DeGrom in New York and – pitched very, very well.
Yeah,
Could have tied that game.
I think he has shown that he deserves to have a start in the postseason.
He will.
I think.
Tell me more about Tyler. About Anderson, right? Like is he?
Well, by the way, Greg, I wanted to ask you about this too. Would it be weird to go? So in my mind, this is what the playoff series would be.
Okay.
Urias game 1.
Yep.
Kershaw game 2.
Yep.
Anderson game 3. That's lefty, lefty, lefty. Any issue with that?
I mean, I would prefer to have a righty in there, but that really comes down to whether Gonsolin is feeling all right. But otherwise, no, you got to go with what you got. And those are their 3 best pitchers currently as is that are not on the IL.
So Anderson is kind of a journeyman guy. He's
been
around.
But he's been great this year.
Yeah.
What's his record now, Greg? It's like 15-4 or something?
Like 2, something like that?
I mean, 15-2. I kind of like those guys in the sense that they've figured it out. They've had to figure it out. Like Dustin May, to me, has the more talent.
15-3.
He's come back from injury, and he hasn't necessarily had a lot of failure that he's had to
overcome. Well, he's 15-3 this year. We just looked it up. So I think, and he's been great. So, all right, Dodgers are going to win it tonight. Momo, I'll ask you first. I've argued for years, winning the division should not be a big deal to the Dodgers. They win it almost every year. They need to win the World Series. I would love it if they slow played celebrating tonight, like didn't put plastic up, didn't shower everybody with champagne. Mm-hmm. I think I'm in the minority. I think they're going to do it. I think they're going full party tonight if they win. What do you think?
I think they'll party, but I'm kind of with you in that. I would celebrate. I wouldn't go full-throated celebration. Like plastic, champagne, that's a little much. Like, you can celebrate in a way that's like a muted celebration. Yes, we did that. It's cool. Celebrate, but muted. Not necessarily like full on. This is our only chance to celebrate.
It seems to me that the only thing that matters is if they win the World Series. And I think it would be almost incredibly cool if tonight they win it and the reporters go into the locker room and they look around and nobody's celebrating. And they would say, what's up? You guys just clinched the West. You're not going to celebrate that? And they said, that's not what we're interested mm-hmm. in. And if Mason were here, he would argue, no, baseball's a long game. It's tradition. They always celebrate if they win a division or if they win a playoff series. There's nothing, Ireland, you can say or do to get them to stop. I've talked to baseball players about this. I've talked to Michael about this, who obviously in the NBA, they don't celebrate unless you win the whole thing. But most people are with me on this, that they are in a unique position. 10 straight playoff appearances. Hey, we know you can do this.
Yeah.
Save the big celebration for the end. We'll see. I have a potentially good news update on Craig Kimbrell that I will give to you next.
Live Imaging Tuesday, Mason in Ireland. Momo's in for Mace. Johnny I, this is what we do on Tuesday. We just play some yacht rock, like Dr. Hook.
Yep, Dr. Hook's got a lot of good yacht rock songs. I've Chris, my golf score has come down when yacht rock is the chosen soundtrack. So I'm on a yacht rock roll on the golf course.
Have you noticed that the yacht rock channel has disappeared from Sirius XM, or they moved it? It's not 14 in right now.
No, it's channel 311.
Oh, so I gotta change my set preset.
Yeah, and no, also yacht rock. There's another channel that's similar to yacht rock. It's called The Bridge.
I don't mind The Bridge.
Yeah. It's not as good. Yacht rock is pompous and arrogant, like you and I. So it's more our speed, but The Bridge is also very good.
Speaking of pompous and arrogant, Sedano and Cap, Sedano.
But it's our pompous and arrogant.
No, I love them, obviously. Yeah. 355.
I don't know what you guys are talking about because I went to Stanford.
You played yacht rock at Stanford?
Oh, I'm pretty sure we called it Stanford rock.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, they think everything originated from Stanford.
Do you listen to yacht rock these days?
If it's on, yeah, I'm not going to walk away from it.
Okay, good.
Hey,
like
Chris,
that.
If you had a walk-up song, or if you were a pitcher, a walk-in song, what would it be?
Well, you got me on the spot here.
Well, I mean, there's several correct answers here. I think I would use Peace Frog by The Doors. I like that hook.
Use something Bee Gees related, like Stayin' Alive.
Yeah, Stayin' Alive would be good for a closer.
Or, yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am a good closer. Or...
See, this is what
it's
I...
Good.
Yeah, this is Peace Frog from The Doors.
Or Push It to the Limit, the Scarface song.
Yeah.
I like that song.
I like, I always like Centerfield.
By John Fogerty?
Yeah, it's kind of generic.
Put me in, coach. Okay. I also like... It's pretty. I mean, you can't listen to this and not be happy.
Right.
And then I also like Skee-Lo. I wish it was a little bit taller. It's pretty good.
Which is good for you.
And then also Rolling Stones, Start Me Up.
Okay.
That's a good walk-in song.
So as you may or may not know, guys... Craig Kimbrell has been on a roll. When the Dodgers celebrated National Women's Day back on August 21st, wives and daughters picked the walk-up songs, and they were all performed by women for the players. So Craig Kimbrell trotted in from the bullpen to close out a win against Miami to the sound of Let It Go from the Frozen soundtrack. Kimbrell's wife, Ashley, and his 4-year-old daughter, Lydia, are the ones who came up with the song. The song went over big at Dodger Stadium. Many people know the words, so they were singing along. And in his past 7 appearances since he began using this song, Kimbrell has not allowed a hit in 7 1/3 innings, striking out 6 and walking 2. 4 of those appearances came at home, where Kimbrell has ditched Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses and switched to Let It Go. Now, Kimbrell claims he is not superstitious. But he also says, I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
I'm right. It's like he's sitting at a blackjack table.
Yep.
He is sticking with Let It Go. And as long as Let It Go is his walk-up music, Bergman, I have zero issues with them putting Craig Kimbrell into the game.
Let It Go.
Not right now.
Everybody wants to run it. Mason said he's done with him. I'm not done with him. He's got 7 1/3 hitless innings.
If he doesn't give up any more hits, I'm all in on Craig Kimbrell. If he gives up some hits and more runs down the stretch, He's out of here.
Well, and then we bring Guns N' Roses back and try it. But
well, that's
is that still a
either.
Thing, Frozen? I don't have children. I try to avoid them. But is no. that, you have children, Momo. Is Frozen still a thing?
My children are like 3 and 3 months. So it's a little little old for them. But, yes, it's definitely a thing. I went to the Dodger game last Tuesday, so a week ago. And Kimbrough came out. He closed it out against the Giants. And we started – my girlfriends and I were at the game. And we all sang along. It was it's excellent. Right, and the ending of it at this is the hook. Let it go. Right. At the end of it, the cold never bothered me anyway. I mean, it's kind of it's kind of perfect for a closer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it actually, if you really listen to the words, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So tonight they're on the road, so it Kimbrough will just come in.
Are any of those girlfriends single, by the way? Or are they all married and happy?
Well, they're all 70 is your issue.
No, those ones, the ones, I have one that, no, she's not married.
Well, we can talk offline about
this.
Yeah. Mason and Ireland continues right now.
Chris, we never talk anything offline. That's no good. We got to do it on the air. By the way, tonight's pitchers, Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers against Merrill Kelly for the D-backs. If the Dodgers win it, they clinch the National League West. And there's going to be a big party. Now,
also, if the Padres lose, they clinch it too.
Yeah. Now, Greg, a few years ago when they clinched the division in Arizona, they all went out and jumped in the pool. You think that's in the cards tonight?
God, I wish and I hope that they do, but there's no chance they actually
do. My buddy Derek Hall, who runs the Diamondbacks, he's pretty smart. I bet you he puts, like, locks and arm guards around the pool.
Oh, they just jump over the fence.
So it'll be interesting to see, how that all plays out. 6:40 tonight on Sportsnet LA. Dodgers, D-backs, if the Dodgers win it, they clinch the division. And I think they're going to celebrate. A lot of people feel like they should. If I'm the Dodgers, I probably don't. I think that there are bigger fish to fry. And I think it would be really cool if they went into the locker room, cameras came in, and nobody celebrated, and they said, we'll celebrate when we win the World Series.
Well, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was from a coach of mine. It was my high school basketball coach, okay? I should give her a shout-out, Lori Chandler. She was
Hi, Lori Chandler.
Yeah. One of my first years, we were pretty bad, okay? We didn't win our first few games.
Even with you.
Oh, yeah. As I said before, I wish I was a little bit taller. Yeah. I wish I was a baller. This is basketball, not softball. And so we were playing in this tournament, and I think we must have won 28 to 24 or something, right? And I hit
pitching.
Yeah, I was really okay. And I hit what was possibly going to be the game winner here. Like, I made a shot, we go up, and everybody starts celebrating. Like, we're all really excited. And my coach, like, she runs onto the court and she goes, "Act like you've been there before. Don't act like you've never won before."
Right.
Right? And there were still like 20 seconds left in the game. Like, the other team definitely could have come back. And she was totally right. Act like you've been there before.
But in baseball, and Bergman, you'll back me up on this. Yeah. In baseball, this is just what everybody does. You win the division and you act like drunken idiots, right?
Yeah, of course. And because who cares? Like, you've just gone through 162 games almost where you've been pushing for this. You should celebrate wins. You should celebrate winning divisions. I don't have no problem with that.
Should you celebrate just making the playoffs? Should they have partied last night?
But like Ramona was saying, though, muted. It doesn't have to be all crazy, muted. But you should absolutely celebrate the positives.
See.
All right. See, says Jorge. Thanks, coming up Jorge. Next, Bobcat. We'll get Bergman in here. He'll throw a bunch of stuff at us. By the way, at 3 o'clock, we're giving away our grand prize for the Cover 5 contest. Those are the 2 tickets to Lakers-Clippers opening day, 2 tickets to Rams-Raiders on December 8th, a Ren Spooner shirt, USC or UCLA, your choice. And if you want to, come in, play Game of Games live with us, all for you guys doing such a great job signing up for Cover 5. And by the way, we blew everybody away. Don't we have like 3,000 and like the next closest show has like 500? I think we just blew everybody out of the water. So we'll give away a bunch of prizes for that at 3 o'clock. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. So Carl Anthony Towns spoke to CBS Sports and was talking about Rudy Gobert being on the T-Wolves. He said, "I think that Rudy's one of the best defensive players we've ever had in the NBA. He has the hardware to prove it. I think I'm one of the best offensive players and talents the NBA has ever seen." That last part is the one that gets me. Thoughts on Towns over confidence?
Well, he's good offensively. He's never been first-team All-NBA. But I don't know, Ramona, if you'd want a player lacking confidence. Yeah. I don't think I have any problem with what he's saying.
I have no problem with what he's saying, and I actually think he might be right. He won the three-point shooting contest last year, the first center ever to do that.
Jokic does it.
He didn't win the three-point. No,
yeah, he's never won the contest. And by the way, you know how many threes Karl-Anthony Towns shot at Kentucky?
How many?
One.
Wow.
Calipari didn't want him to do it.
Wow. Yeah. He is a really talented player. I mean, he was the number one overall draft pick. He hasn't won anything. And so, therefore, your question is, should you be talking if you haven't won anything, right? Should you make a statement like that? But he certainly is incredibly talented. He has a very unique skill set, especially for a big man.
Sure, but one of the best offensive players and talents the NBA has ever seen. I mean, there's a guy named Michael Jordan that was pretty talented offensively.
Yeah, it's Kevin a little Durant. Bit of a reach, but don't you want your guys thinking that? Yeah.
Sure, you want them to, but I mean, like, you know, you don't need to say it out loud like that. Oh, can you put me up, Jorge, please? Thanks.
Bobcat.
I was on the air, don't worry about
Dispensa.
It. So Apple released iOS 16 yesterday, and I haven't updated it yet, but apparently they added a function where you can unsend or edit recently sent iMessages.
Ah.
I don't know if I like this all that much, but how do you feel about this?
Okay,
ability?
So I could send you a text
and
then take it back.
And then unsend it. Or you can even edit it.
Interesting.
Okay, but would I know whether or not you've seen it?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I'll text you right now, see what happens.
But then, do you
have iOS 16?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to text me, and then you're going to take it back.
It'll say edited? It'll say edited, says Chris Morales.
It'll say edited.
Do you have it? Do you have iOS 16? He says yes.
I'm getting all these texts from Michael, who is in Hawaii. George sends hola. Now, if you take it back,
edited.
Hola, hello.
It does say edited,
now,
too.
Now, can you delete it?
I think I can. Let me see.
Will it say deleted?
But once I've seen it, Ramona, I don't know. Edited to adios. Yeah, I'm not sure what it does.
But you can't delete it? Can you delete it?
It's really interesting because who among us has not sent a text that we wish we could have back?
You cannot delete it.
Who among us?
Yeah. So okay. I'm not sure. If you can't delete it, Greg, I guess the edit feature is the only thing that makes it unique.
Well, so I'm on a number of different messaging apps. I'm on Telegram, WhatsApp. What was the other one? CyberDust, that was the Mark Cuban one. The CyberDust, that was the whole point of it, is that you see the text, and after a certain amount of time, like you set the timer to self-destruct. All those other, Signal is another one I'm on. A lot of agents and team personnel, people in the industry, like to communicate that way because they don't want records of their text messages. Anything you send in a text can be in a record. And on some of those apps, you can set a timer like, okay, this message will erase itself.
It's like Mission Impossible. Yeah. This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
And you can set it for like, an hour or as soon as 10 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever it is. And I actually think it's a really good function because even though, yes, I do like to go back and read things in terms of legal stuff and screenshots. And no, you can never do away with a screenshot. If you get a message, screenshot it, boom, right away. But it used to be like on Snapchat or on CyberDust, if you screenshot it, the person would get an alert saying that you screenshotted it. Mm. Like that would out you.
So apparently with this though, like it says edited to this. So you're getting the original message and the edited message.
Oh.
So what is the
That's interesting.
I don't really like
it's that. Showing the filter.
Yes. It's saying
showing
like,
the way you realize you should have said
something.
I'm not
so sure.
I don't know
like,
about
F
that.
You blank and blank and blank, and then you change it to I love you. And it, you know, you'll see both.
Dang.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not so sure this is gonna be the hit they think it is.
Bobcat.
Jorge, what you got?
Okay, so this morning, even Funches is saying to stop singing this song because it's a jingle that got me a little hungry. This is what the jingle is. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, but I'm trying. What's it for?
It's a $5 box or $5 bag from Wendy's.
Okay.
So Funches is telling me, man, keep playing that because I keep singing it every freaking 10 seconds.
Right.
So then Funches is saying, if you keep doing that, it's going to make me want to go Wendy's.
Right.
Is there a jingle or any product that makes you buy it just based on that?
Oh.
Okay, but the jingles that stick with you are the ones that did it. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to try and I'm not kidding. I have not been to McDonald's in probably 10 years. But I think I can do from memory.
Uh-huh.
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
I think you missed tomato.
I probably did, but isn't that potato. Isn't that a Big Mac? Oh. I haven't had a Big Mac in 20 years, yet I remember the jingle. It's like, I want those baby back, baby back.
Oh,
baby
oh
back,
yeah. Baby back. Yeah. You know, Chili's.
So if your jingle's catchy, you could remember it, but...
I always got stuck on Red Robin. Red Robin.
Yum. Oh,
so
yeah.
Then it worked.
Yeah, absolutely worked.
Where does tomato go in that? To all beef patties, special sauce,
lettuce, cheese, tomato.
There's no tomato on the Big Mac.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's no tomato on it.
I think you're...
I'm just adding in.
All right.
You're nitpicking.
You ready?
Yeah.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. I mean...
That's a good one. So if you can come up with a jingle that people will remember, Funches is right. It'll just, you know, live in your head. Forever.
There was another one they used to play on the radio all the time about you won't get a lemon
from Toyota of Orange.
So you want to go buy a car?
Pretty good. No, but that makes me want to buy a car. Okay,
The Keys on Van Nuys was a great one.
Oh, man, Keys,
when
Keys,
I was
Keys,
a kid,
Keys on Van Nuys.
I don't even know if this place still exists, but they had a good jingle, so I know about it.
Yep.
Pete Ellis Dodge, Long Beach Freeway, Firestone Exit, Southgate.
Yeah.
There was the ghosty cow that I thought was something else.
Yeah, that was good.
would be good. So, yeah, the key is coming up with something that people will remember. The fact that I couldn't remember
that
Jacob. Jingle.
I mean, he's got a good one.
That's
a
great one.
Jacob's coming in today. Today's Tuesday, Game of Games Day for Jacob.
Yes. I kind of like this one, too. It gets in my head a lot, too.
I know, but this isn't – I don't associate it with Wendy's.
But I mean, that's the whole point. They're like, "Oh, is that a real song?" And then the guy's like, "Oh, she likes it." And then they go into the ad.
Okay.
So they're trying to make it like a boy band kind of singing. Yeah. It's like the whole staff in the back singing it. That's the whole point.
I guess.
It's like
I don't know.
Head.
It needs to be like very associated with the product.
Ba da ba ba ba.
You know who does those ads, Greg?
Yeah, the guy from Succession.
Yeah, Brian Cox.
Oh yeah.
He plays a dad on Succession.
Who's also English, by the way. I think he's British, isn't he?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Australian.
What was with Jeremy, the creator of when they won for best show? His speech at the end was so bad, wasn't it?
Oh, did Jeremy Strong speak?
No, not Jeremy Strong. Who's the writer? It was probably the producer.
It. Armstrong,
yeah.
I think
it was. Yeah, Jesse Armstrong, that was it. And it was like, he basically was like, made some kind of joke about the monarchy or something, but it was like, the queen just died, and everybody on stage was kind of like, I don't know, man. I just wonder best ratings.
So,
like,
the English Premier League canceled all their games this past weekend because the queen died. If the president died, you know, God forbid, would we cancel all the NFL games? I don't think so.
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
When JFK was assassinated,
did they?
I think they didn't, and Pete Rozelle said, it's my number one regret. I wish I would have canceled the games that weekend. But, you know, the queen was 95. It's not like
96.
I mean, it's not like that she died.
I mean, she was unbelievable. She was still doing events 2 days before she died.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
Bobcat.
All right, just because I know Momo loves this game so much, I did it just for you.
Oh,
let's do some
Purtle?
Funs with stats.
Oh, I thought we were doing Purtle.
I would do Purtle, but you guys don't ever let me do it anymore.
So
well, name me the top.
To you. We don't edit.
You told
Bobcat.
Me to stop doing it.
That sounds like something Mason would say.
Maybe. People don't like it anymore.
Fun with stats.
Name me the top five receivers from the first week of the NFL season. This should be a pretty easy
one. Justin Jefferson.
Number one.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson.
Nicely done.
Cooper Kupp.
Number five, Cooper Kupp.
Davante Adams.
Number three, Davante Adams.
All right, so there's two left.
Two left. That's not pretty good so far.
Is one of them play for the Commanders?
No.
Okay.
Okay, and then McLaurin. Yeah, you were thinking him.
And there was another one that had... What about Ravens? Does one of them play for the Ravens?
Nope.
Okay. I know. A.J. Brown, Eagles.
A.J. Brown, Eagles is
good.
Right. He's number two.
And,
so one more.
Okay. AFC or NFC?
He is in the AFC.
What about the Chiefs? Somebody on the Chiefs?
No, because Mahomes spread it all around.
Yeah. Dolphins?
Nope.
No, neither one of those guys had a big game. Is it Stephon Diggs?
It is not Stephon Diggs, so that's one strike.
Okay. I'm trying to think.
That'd be a good one, though.
I don't think anybody in Pittsburgh or Cleveland.
Could be Cincinnati. Jamar Chase.
We'll trade Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase, number four. Nicely
Boom!
Look at the two of you. Yeah. Nicely done.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson was the easy one.
Right. Justin Jefferson went off.
Yeah, that guy might be the best receiver in the league right now.
He very, very well could be. Although Devonta Adams is pretty much uncoverable.
That catch he made was unbelievable. Yeah.
All right, so apparently only 200 tickets were sold to the fight between Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson at Bank of California Stadium over the weekend.
Did you see the shots of the stands?
Ooh, so bad.
Yeah, it was like, it was almost like they were doing a rehearsal.
I know.
Yeah,
they also gave away 1,000 of those tickets.
Oh, boy.
So Le'Veon ended up knocking out Peterson, and one of the clips I saw, it was really ugly boxing. Will this finally put an end to this stupid trend of these ex-athletes boxing?
Probably not. You know, because
no one's buying it.
Doesn't everybody buy when the Paul brothers fight Jake or Logan Paul?
But they're not professional athletes.
It's not about the gate. It's about the TV revenue and the streaming revenue.
Well, and this, by the way, this had no TV revenue and no gate sales. Like nobody cared about this fight. Yeah. That's the point of your question, right? Greg?
Yeah, exactly.
Now that one of these has failed miserably, will it end?
Miserably.
I don't think it will. I think that they'll get two other Bobos and put them out there and hope that people will buy it.
Yeah.
Like, did you watch the Lamar Odom fight? Didn't he have a fight?
Yeah, it was awful.
They don't even look like they don't know what they're doing. It's not good boxing.
No, it is not.
They're like swinging wildly. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, not even the boxers will fight each other. Why do I need Adrian Peterson against Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, it's just so super random. Like, there's a thing where it jumps the shark. I mean, like, I used to watch Dancing with the Stars, and then it just got, like, the latest season is just on streaming, and it's a bunch of YouTube stars and influencers, and I was like, eh. Like,
I haven't watched
Dancing
with the Stars since Rick Fox was on it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched him because I know him. But,
and I watched Keyshawn.
Well, Keyshawn was on one episode.
Yeah.
He didn't last very long.
Yeah. Although, I told Key wasn't going to last because he didn't play the game. He actually was not a bad dancer.
Yeah. No.
He just didn't, like,
you
play.
You have to practice, like, 8 hours a day.
And you got to get your social media involved, and you got to get a good partner with, you know. Matter of fact, I sat next to Derek Huff on a plane once, and he was telling me that a lot of it depends on what the social media following of the non-celebrity is. He says all the dancers are good, but if you get somebody that's got like a million social media, like one of the Kardashians goes on there, they're going deep.
Yeah.
You know, or if you're a big time athlete, you're going deep. So a lot of it depends on what your following's like off of the dance floor.
Bobcat.
All right, so last one for Kick It Off the Planet. I know Momo's going to love this one, too. Which do you want to kick off the planet? Fun with Stats or Kick It Off the Planet?
Fun with Stats.
Yeah. Kick It Off the Planet's good. Fun with Stats is just when you can't think of anything else, you throw some up and see if it sticks.
Fun with Stats is should be renamed to Not Fun with Stats.
I just want you to guess things. That's all. It's like top five dumb things that happened on Sunday.
Yeah, now Jorge's going to play every 20 minutes. We're all going to stop at Wendy's on the way home. All right, coming up next, we give away our Cover 5 big prize, the two tickets to Lakers-Clippers, the two tickets to Rams-Raiders, the Ren Spooner shirt, and the trip to come in here and play Game of Games with us. We will do that next, ESPN LA.